Dishmaya. Basar b'chalav for beginners number 3. See after Dishmaya. Okay, today what we're going to do is Simin Pei Zayin Sif Vav. And what we're going to discuss are the interesting opinions of the Ramah in Sif Vav. This Ramah is not going to be as organized as what we've been doing up until now. Had a neat conceptual framework, and now what's going to happen is the Ramah is going to introduce chumras in regards to Basar B'chalav, and we're going to spend time trying to understand the Ramah's chumras. So it appears on page Pei, five lines in. Ramah says as follows: Yesh Omrim. The Asar, it's by the first word in line is Omrim. Yesh Omrim, the Asur Lachdos Ha'esh Tachas Kedera Shel Goy. There are some who say that it's prohibited to stoke the fire that's under the pot of a Goy. L'fi Shein Mevashlim Behem Pamim Chalav Pamim Basar. Because the Goy at times cooks milchiks in it, and times cooks fleishiks in it. V'hamechate Tachas Kedera Shelahem. And if you stoke the coals, boily day bishul basar b'chalav, you're going to come to a chshash of basar b'chalav. We're concerned that you're going to come to an iser of basar b'chalav. The source of this Ramah is a Mardechi. The Mardechi says that you have to be careful not to stoke under the goy's pot. Now, what's unclear, very unclear about this Ramah, is exactly what is going on in this pot. Now, we've learned, of course, that there's an Iser d'oraisa of Bishul Basar v'chalav. That we know. So, if there was Basar and Chalav that was sitting there, so then in such a case, we would have a chashash of Bishul Basar v'chalav. So, the Ramah says that you shouldn't stoke the coals. The problem is that the Ramah didn't exactly say that. The Ramah said that it was a pot, that at times they cook milchiks, at times they cook fleishiks. So what exactly was the Ramah's concern? So if you take a look at Rav Shlomo Eger says the following. Rav Shlomo Eger is Gil Yom Marsha. On the side of your page, it's on the right side, by Os Yudalit. Picking up in the middle of his words, he says, V'yesh raya l'chura mikan. We could bring a proof from here. The basar v'chalav shekvar nisbashel yachad, that if you have meat and milk that had been already cooked, also the vashlo shenis, you're not allowed to cook it again. Reb Shlomo Eger, of course, Reb Akiva Eger's son. Today is going to be Eger day. We're going to be doing Reb Shlomo Eger, and we're going to be doing Reb Akiva Eger. Reb Shlomo Eger has the following argument. He says, you tell me, what do you think is the case of the Ramah? There's nothing wrong with being wrong over here. What do you think, what's in the pot in our concern by the Ramah? What would you suggest? The Ramah's concerned that you cook basar b'chalav. How do you have basar b'chalav in this pot?
Because one of the pot already has a din of basar.
The pot is basar because it was a fleishik pot that you use to cook fleishiks within 24 hours. And the goy then is cooking milchiks. Why is he cooking basar b'chalav? Because goyim don't have to worry about basar b'chalav. That's the case. Very good. Sounds good to me. Comes along Reb Shlomo Eger. Reb Shlomo Eger says, wait a second. Here we see, everybody has probably familiar that when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we have a rule, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That means that if you have meat that has been already cooked, under certain conditions, you're allowed to put it on a blech and heat it up on Shabbos, because the meat is already cooked. That's the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So far, so good? What about in Basar B'chalav, Rabbosai? Do we say that just like Hilchos Shabbos, we have the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, so too, when it comes to Basar B'chalav, we'll say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. If it's been already cooked, so then it's not going to be subject to Bishul. So let's go with Yonah's case. Yonah says that what was the case with the goy's pot? The goy's pot had already fleishiks that had been cooked in it. That was mivushal. So even if we're going to say that the milk is not being cooked, but the meat has already been cooked. If the meat has already been cooked, so then we should argue that it shouldn't be subject to Bishul because of the rule of Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul. Now go back to Reb Shlomo Eger's words. L'chura mikan, halfway through Os Yudalev. L'chura mikan, l'chura means at first light, from here it seems. D'basa v'chalav shekvar nispashel yachad. Even if it's already been cooked. Also the bashel shenis, you can't cook it again. So even though when it comes to Elchus Shabbos, we have a rule, Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul, when it comes to Basar V'chalav, he says, it seems that that doesn't apply. And then he says, and look back what I wrote all the way in the beginning of the Siman. So what did he write in the beginning of the Siman? So this you don't have in your photocopies. I'll tell you what he wrote at the beginning of the Siman. He said, even if you have meat that's been cooked, and milk that has been cooked, both of them have been cooked. If you cook them together, so then you're b'chayev for basar v'chalav. Some achronim say that it seems that the Shlomo Eger is learning that even though in Hilchos Shabbos most say ein bishul achar bishul, somehow Rav Shlomo Eger seems to not be aware paskening of ein bishul achar bishul. Which is difficult. Because to say that something that's dry is not subject to Bishul, that's a little bit of a difficult shita. What's better to say? L'chura, what would be better to say is as follows. What would be better to say is a fascinating chiddush. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there, the isser is to cook something. Once the item's been cooked, it's already aser. You did bishul. Once a bishul's been done, you won't have an iser bishul anymore. However, when it comes to basar b'chalav is different. What's the iser of cooking basar b'chalav? The iser of cooking basar b'chalav is to bring basar and chalav together through via heat. So even if the meat has been cooked, and even if the milk has been cooked, if each one of them have not been cooked with meat, with the other min, the other type, then you could still have bishul basar b'chalav by cooking them together. By cooking them together, then you can have bishul basar b'chalav. So that might be the pshat in what Rav Shlomo Eger is saying. Rav Shlomo Eger now goes back to the Rambam, and he says, even if the meat has been cooked and the milk has been cooked. Yonah said that maybe the meat was cooked, but the milk wasn't cooked. Even if the milk had been cooked and the meat hadn't been cooked, but they hadn't been cooked together, the isser is to create a new, let's use a nice English word, a new conglomerate. A new conglomerate of basar b'chalav. That's the isser of bishul basar b'chalav. Hence, the way to read the Ramah would be as follows. Yesh omrim, back into the Ramah where you have a small yuches. Yesh omrim, to asr lachtos ha'esh tachas kederi shel goy. It's prohibited to stoke the coals under the pot of a goy. L'fishei mevashlim ben pam chalav pam in basar. Ramechata tachas kederi shel embolidei bishul basar b'chalav. Even if the meat has been cooked and even if the milk has been cooked, as long as they haven't been cooked together. So you have to be choshesh, like Yonah said, that you had a fleshig pot with belios. That means the tam, the absorbent into the pot of fleishiks that is now cooked with milchiks, even if both of them had already been cooked prior, nevertheless, that's going to be an iser of bishul basar b'chalav. Okay. That would be the best way to explain the Ramah. However, the Shach says something interesting, and then I'll take your question, Yonah. All right, you know what, Yonah, I'll take your question first.
So would that mean that if it's already been cooked, meat and dairy, tipos rechalov, and I cook it again?
That's right. Then, correct. Then you're not going to have the chashash. Correct. Correct. Correct.
It's not even a derabana, or did it?
What's that?
It's not. It's like no oyster at all.
Correct. Exactly. Because that, according to the way we're saying it, then there wouldn't be any iser at all. Oh. But does the Shach learn this way? So take a look at the Shach in Sifkat and Yud Ches. Excuse me. Yeah, the Shach. Shach in Sifkat and Yud Ches. Ube Mordechi Kasav She'osar Levashel Basar Bebeis Yisrael Begedera Shel Goy Shemichat Yisrael. That's how he calls the Mordechi. So far, so good. That's like our case. And then he says, Lachain. Therefore, the Mordechi concludes, Sarich l'shvachos goyos shtei kderos. You need to insist that if there's someone who lives in your house, what do they call it? A live-in, right? If there is a live-in who's not Jewish, and she cooks on your stove, there are many shavuos that will come from that. So l'chein tzarech l'shvachos goyos shtei kderos. You have to ask her to have two pots. Acha shel basav, acha shel chalav. That she has two different pots, because if she has one pot, then maybe it'll have basav chalav. And then he says, Miu basar lav dafka. We're talking about when he says basar, it doesn't mean dafka basar. Elu adin shar dvarim, the zil basar taima. Even if it wasn't meat, if it has just blios, it's going to be a problem. But he says, this is a chumra ba'alma. What's the chumra ba'alma? The chumra is that even if it's a parve pot, that the shifcha is, the livin is cooking parif, but maybe there's blios of basar v'chalav inside. So then, that's what the Shach said, Zil Basar Taima, that's a Chumrah. Why? Because if you're just re-cooking Blios, let's say she's making pasta. Blios means the absorbent. Let's say it was absorbed. She had cooked once Basar inside, and once Chalav, now she's making pasta. So now the pasta, and she did that with oil within the last 24 hours. And you, it's not like their stoves are not like our stoves today. In those days, if you had your pot on the stove and they had their pot, if you stoked the wood, the fire, it would be heating up not only your pot, it would also be heating up their pot. By the way, this was extremely common in hotels. Just like you have in hotels today an ice machine, right, that everybody takes from the ice machine, and even motels, you have the ice machine. In those days, once upon a time, just like you have an ice machine, they used to have an oven. And that oven, people would do two things. Number one, people would all put their pots on top of the general oven, and they also sit next to it to stay warm. You probably didn't have your own oven in your hotel room, so if you wanted to warm up, you would sit down next to the oven. So there, by the oven, when people would heat it up, so sometimes they're even heating it up for what? They're heating up to get warm. Oh, we're going to discuss that. If that's not their kavana, what's halach going to be? But they're heating it up to get warm, or they're heating up their own pot. But the goy's pot, in our case, of the chumrah of the Shach, where the Shach says the chumrah ba'alma, is that the pot might have been used for basar v'chalav. So that's a chumrah on top of a chumrah. Why is that a chumrah on top of a chumrah? Because if it's a blios, so says the Prima Gadim, that's not considered derech bishul. But if the basa would be in the kdeira, that's a chalavis, that would be considered derech bishul. So we have the Rama who says what? That for sure it's going to be a problem to stoke under his pot if his pot has meat inside and it's a fleishiga pot, then it's a milchiga pot. But if it's pasta, then the fact that we're machmir, that they should always have two separate pots, and that even if you have blios of basar v'chalav, that's going to be problematic. So that is only a chumra ba'alma. But when do you need the livin to have different pots? If she's going to be cooking fleishiks inside a milchiga pot, says the Prima Gardim, that will be an Isur d'oraisa bishul. There were a bunch of hands. Go ahead, Yonah.
So she can cook noodles in any pot?
She could do anything. But we're machmir even on a noodle pot. If you're aware that basa b'chol was once cooked inside, then you wouldn't be allowed to stoke it as a chumra ba'al. Okay? Yes, what's your name?
Ezra,
yeah.
Are you allowed to even have the non-Jew stay in your house at all?
So those are other shilas. There are many shilas that come up. Two of them to mention is Bishul Akum. Is that you're not allowed, that's Simanim and Shulchan Aruch, a Gentile is not allowed to cook food for a Jew. And often that's part of the job of the livin is to cook the food. So that's one. And the other shaylah to be careful about is yichud. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that yichud was extended for a Jew with a Gentile woman as well. And that's another shaylah to keep in mind. But yes, there are many shaylahs that come up. But there's no iser per se, but you need to keep in mind those shaylahs. One day we can learn that as well. The Rama continues. Yesh omer. There's some who say, the aser lachtos ha'esh tachas kedera shel goy, that's prohibited to stoke the coals under a pot of a Gentile. V'ha'mechate tachas kedera, oh, that's what we did, I'm sorry. Od kasu. They also say, de'ein la'arif, we're going to have three chumras of the Rama. So this is, we did chumra number one, now we're up to chumra number two. Od kasu, de'ein la'arif mayim, she'dichu bem kli basar, very interesting. What happens if you have water that was used to cook fleishiks, and you have water that was used to cook milchiks, and pour it in front of your dog?
Why so hot?
Good question. The Shach is bothered by your question. The Shach answers it. Sifkat and Yotes. The Shach says the water is hot. Now, the Ramah concludes all of these halachos, and he says, "Bidieved ein lochosh b'chol zeh, va'af lechatchila ein bazel lechumras ba'alma." The Ramah says that all of the halachos that we're learning here are chumras. They're not me'ikr d'dina. So the Shach told us what the chumra was in the last one, that even the pasta, we were machmir. That, he says, is not a problem. The pasta is not a problem. So that's why me'ikr d'dina. But we're machmir l'chatchila. So too over here, this halacha is a chumra, but me'ikr d'dina, it's going to be mutter. So the Shach explains, the same thing that we saw from the Prima Gadim earlier. What's the way that you normally cook basar and chalav? You take basar, you take chalav, you put them in a pot on top of the fire. If, however, you don't do that, you mix water that has a good taste of milk, and water that has a good taste of meat, that it could be that there's some time a person would want to have each one of them independently, but that's not how you cook basar v'chalav. That's not the normal way to cook basar v'chalav. And therefore, says the Shach, the halacha is that it's only a chumra ba'alma again, because it's not bishul. It's not the normal way to be mevasho. Oh.
Doesn't sound like a
chumra to you?
I'm saying that's not an issue.
But what did the Ramah say? The Ramah said that it's asr bahanah. The Ramah didn't say what's the halach in regards to bishul.
So what would it be asr going to? Hanah's pleasure?
What's that? Hana would be, deriving benefit. Because you're giving it to the dog. You're giving it to your dog.
That means it is a derisive kishul.
So in other words, it needs to have been, bishul needs to have been done with it. Correct. So if you take a look at Rabbi Kiva Eger in Tezvav, you have Rabbi Kiva Eger in front of you. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, wait a second. What about the problem of Bishul? The Rama only brought up the problem of Hana. What about Bishul? That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger asks. So he answers that you have to say that there was shishim, that there was 60 times either the milchiks to the fleshiks or the fleshiks to the milchiks. And therefore, there was a problem that you're not allowed to be mevatel l'chatchila for achila and hana, but bishul is not going to be a problem. In other words, the halacha is that 60 times is not, if there's 60 times, it's not bishul. But to add that, knowing that you're being mevatel l'yisr, is usher to do. That's called ein mevatel nisr l'chatchila. Therefore, you're not allowed to have hana. But Rabbi Kiva Eger's question is an interesting question. Either you could say that the Rama said Hana, but he also meant that Bishul is Aser. Or you say what Rabbi Kiva Eger said, that what's going on over here is a problem of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'chatchila. Okay, that's a tangential point. Don't worry about Rabbi Kiva Eger too much. If you followed it, great. And if you didn't follow it, that's also fantastic. Yes, Ezra?
Is where we talked about pouring the water in front of the dog, is that also where we get like if you can give a non-kosher food to a dog, like got your dog food?
Oh, very good, very good. So we spoke about that last week. Yeah. Okay, good. Now let's go back to the shaila about stoking the coals under the fire. Since we're in Rabbi Kiva Eger, let's do a beautiful Rabbi Kiva Eger. Now Rabosai, why would it be usher? Because there's a possibility the guy has basar b'chalav. The Rama doesn't talk about us knowing that the guy has basar b'chalav. The Rama says that there is a possibility that there's basar b'chalav there, right? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's called safek psik resha. Let me teach you some terms in Hilchos Shabbos. The halacha is in Hilchos Shabbos, as well as in Kol HaTorah Kula, even though there might be different rules. If a person does one action, and another action isn't necessarily going to happen, but can happen, but his intention was to do one thing, A, and not B, but B might happen, we paskin that that's mutter to do on Shabbos. So for example, this is very important, these terms are both sides. Dover Shenim Eskavim. Let's say you have a bench, and you want to take it from one side of your lawn to the other side of the lawn. So you're doing Maisa A, which is taking the bench from one side of the lawn to the other. But there's a possibility that's going to make a hole in the ground, which is the Isra of Charisha. That's called Davar Sheina Meskaving, that you didn't intend to do it. The halacha is that if you do something that you don't know the result is going to happen, even if it makes a hole in the ground, it's mutter. It's mutter to take it, because you don't know that's going to happen, and your intention is not to make the hole in the ground. Your intention is to move from one place to the next. That's called davar sheni meskavim. Okay, that's step one. Step two. Davar sheni meskavim is usur if you know it's going to make a hole in the ground. When did we say it's mutter? That's when you're not sure. But if it's psik reshe, listen to this. This is a good one. Psik reisha. Oh, somebody's wearing a jacket with a ball on his emblem.
Yeah.
What was a ball 2,000 years ago? The answer is a ball was made, kids did play ball, not teenagers. Teenagers were already married with kids once upon a time. They were, many of them were had already lived through one third of their lives by 15 years old. Different world that we live in. We are so immature, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us so much more time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all till 120. So once upon a time, so what happened, the world was a different place. A ball was made the following way. Your father went to the shochet to shecht the chicken. said, "Dad, could you bring me back a ball?" What did your father bring? The wife of the shochet would sew the head of the chicken, and that would be the balls that the kids would play with. The kids, they sewed the head of the chicken after it was geschachten, and that was a ball that kids would play with. By the time kids were 10 years old, they were no longer playing ball. They were already going out and trying to earn enough to be able to buy a piece of bread, just to appreciate what you have at age 18. So that was a ball in those days. What's the halacha if the father goes to a shochet and the father says to the shochet, "I don't want you to kill the chicken. I just want to have a ball for my son and chicken for my family." So the shochet looks at him and he says, "You're ridiculous. The only way I could get a ball for your son and chicken for your family is to shecht it." The Gemara calls this psik reishe v'lo yomus. Are you going to say that you're cutting off the head of the chicken just to get a ball for your son? You're killing an animal. And that's a malacha on Shabbos. Shochet is a malacha that's asur on Shabbos. So Gemara says, you can't say that you're an eino miskaven when it comes to shochet. You could say you're an eino miskaven when you're taking the bench and it might not make a hole. But if it's for sure going to happen, that's considered miskaven. Makes sense, right? Makes a lot of sense. That's called psik reishe. Psik reishe means psik, to cut off, reishe, the head. So if your son wants the ball, you can't say psik reishe v'lo yomus. So that's what the Gemara tells us. Tov, so far so good. So psik, even though Dar Hashem miskaven is mutter, psik reishe is aser. Okay, one more layer. What happens if you know that if the head of the chicken is there where your knife is, then you're going to kill it? But you're not sure if it's there. So that's a pretty hard case. By shechting where you know that it's there. But I'll give you a case. Says the Taz, what happens if you have flies inside of a toy chest? The halacha is you're not allowed to close the toy chest because you're not allowed to trap the flies. You're not interested in the flies? The answer is, I don't care. It's psik reishe. So therefore, closing the toy chest when you know that flies are there, even though you're not interested in trapping the flies, is tzad. It's trapping. What happens if you have a suffek whether there are flies there? That's called suffek psik reishe. Got it? Suffek psik reishe. Says the Taz, that's mutter. Suffek psik reishe is mutter. Comes along Rabbi Akiva Eger in Sifkat and Yudalit, and he says, this case of the Ramah, do you know if the Goy has Basar B'Chalav there? What's the answer?
No.
You're not sure. If there's Basar B'Chalav there, you'll for sure cook it. So you can't say you're not an Eino Miskaven, because Basar B'Chalav, you're going to cook it. By closing a chest. But here, you don't know if there's Basar B'Chalav there. That's like what? When you're not sure. Beautiful, Ezra. Suffolk psik reisha. So if that's so, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the case of Basar B'Chalav should be considered a case of suffolk psik reisha. And then, according to the Taz, it should be mutter. So the Rama over here is machmir. Rama is machmir, even though it's a suffolk psik reisha. Oh, so Rabbi Akiva Eger says, therefore I think la halacha, those who go to the motels and they put down their pot and they're stoking the coals for their pot and they're not stoking the coals for the other person's pot, the goy's pot. So then, maybe the Rama has no room to be machmir. Maybe the Rama is only machmir when you're stoking the coals and the only pot that's there is the goy's pot because you're doing the goy a favor. So then in such a case, then you can't say that wasn't your das. Your das is on that pot. But if your das is for something else, so then such a case, suffik psik resha, it's mutter. Rabbi Kiva Eger concludes here. Take a look. Achein ladas hataz, three lines from the bottom on the first column. Achein ladas hataz. Shekasav sham deladas hatur binoel teva. When you're closing the toy chest. Vesafek im yesh zvuvim, and there's a suffik where there's flies there. The mutter lenolo. Davidar shem skam. Vafta psik resha makal makum. Dilma ain sham zvuvim. Vahar psik resha. So you have a suffix, and therefore the taz is makel. Im kein lechor benita nidan heter gomer. So too here it's heter gomer. The ha'ena miskamen levasho klisho nachri. His intention is not to cook the goy's pat. Ve'efshu de'em b'selcho klal balu abas v'chal avlar p'sik resha. Kasafti zeh, I wrote this, says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Shelo lios iser chomor ki kemat yefshu lizar oivrei drachim. Everybody does this. Just like everybody goes to the icebox today, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, everybody does that in the motels in those days. And they stoke the coals. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, must be that they're relying on the Taz that says Safik Psik Resha. And what Rabbi Kiva Eger then did is he cut down the Ramah. The Ramah then is not talking about when you're doing it for something else. Because if you're doing it for something else, so then in such a case it would be Safik Psik Resha. What about an icebox? What do you say? And since a totally different case, a guy puts in his cooler to fill up with ice. And his cooler is going to touch the ice, and then you're going to put in your cooler.
It's cold.
Oh, very good. That's the answer. There's no shaila at all over here, unless there's mamashos. You see mamashos. Because everything is cold. The devil in Macholos Asuros is heat. Heat transfers time. But if it's not hot, so then we learned that there are other things that could transfer time. If it's soaked for 24 hours, we learned, it could transfer time. But otherwise, if it's not soaked, if it's cold, it can't transfer time. So therefore, if you're in a workplace where your kosher food that was not hot was put accidentally on a table that you know, even if hot non-kosher food was put on it, but you know it's clean, so then you have absolutely no problem. The big problem is when you have heat, because heat transfers taste. If there isn't heat or there isn't stoking, then halacha would be that it would be mutter. So once upon a time, motel living was more complicated than it is today. Good, Yashikai Rabbi says. So we'll make a list for